Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
You know, the flow of what I sense God doing this morning, before we even get started, I just want to say I feel like God wants to heal people from headaches. I don't know if you're here in this worship journey on campus or if you're in the online campus, but if you struggle with unexplained, difficult, chronic migraines, whatever that category is, just headaches, I suppose the tension headache that goes with just life itself may be probably looped into this as well, but specifically the difficult chronic stuff that is hard to control or is debilitating. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I just want to know if there's anybody in here this morning who struggles with headaches. Anybody? Okay, so I see one, two, three. Anybody else? If you're online, put your hand up or just say, that's me. Let's connect. I don't ever want to miss the flow of what the Holy Spirit's doing. So you guys have faith to believe God for some miracles this morning? Okay, let's just open our hands and hearts to the Lord. Let's contend for what God has already paid for. Jesus, you said in your word that you bore stripes on your back for the healing of our bodies. So we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our experience to you to say, come in to our bodies with the healing power right now that flows from who you are into our bodies. I declare in Jesus' name that divine word is specifically timed to meet people right here, right now for supernatural miracles. We do not believe headaches are from you. We believe that there are distortions in our body or from antagonistic strategies from darkness to distract us from what we are called to do. So in Jesus' name, we bind that whatever entrance that's giving that expression to those headaches and declare in Jesus' name that the blood of the Lamb of God is against them. Jesus, you've healed these diseases. So Father, in Jesus' name, for this moment, move powerfully, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, don't you just love God? Amen? God is good. Can we just give the Lord a little thanks for that this morning? It's kind of a little freebie. Who knew that was going to happen? Well, God did, and he's always so good. So glad to see you here in the house this morning. Glad to see those of you that are worshiping with us online. We see you. We feel you. We are engaged in the journey with you. So thank you. We've got some friends in Southern California, I believe, who are worshiping with us. So thank you for popping in with us today, as well as Jersey. And then there's a few other folks just kind of dotting the map. So wherever you happen to be worshiping from, even if you're right across the street, we just want to stop and say thank you for being in the journey with us. And by the way, if you have been with LifeLink for a little while and feel like you want to be a part or learn more about the LifeLink family and what God's called us to do, we offer the online growth track for those of you that want to take a look at that. And it's kind of self-paced. In fact, nobody listening in the room, I just want to talk to those that are online here for just a second. We've had people who actually attend the Gilbert campus say, I want to accelerate the growth track by doing it self-paced. And so I go online and they just go right through it in a day. So that's a freebie for you if you'd like to do that. Now, nobody in here listening to that, right? Just kidding. No, we want to actually go through the journey together. So wherever you happen to be from, well, we just want to say we're glad that you're here. God's going to do something great. We're starting a brand new series. It's called Provision. Everyone say Provision. God has something he wants to do in making provision for you. In fact, it's his name. He revealed himself in Scripture as Yahweh Jireh, which means he is our provider. You know, he loves to do that. And that's his nature, is to give and make provision because he's our heavenly Father. So as we start this series this morning, I just want to just say that we are going to be working through the next few weeks in a series about how God works to make provision in our lives and how we align ourselves with him. And so there are several ways you could describe this. I don't know how to get around the idea that we're going to eventually touch finances. Everyone say finances. But I will tell you how it works at LifeLink in case this is a new connection with how we approach somewhat sensitive topics or tender topics or touchy topics, however you want to say that. LifeLink is committed to just say, here's what we see in the Scripture, and we invite you to let God do what he wants to do with his work, the working of his Spirit, to help you see it or understand it. But you never feel pressured or obligated or kind of forced to do something. Jesus, when he left heaven to come to earth, he made the supreme sacrifice to invite us to discover that, to invite us to do that. He will never force us to do anything. So you're never going to be forced to do something. We're going to actually go through this in a very relational way. And so I just want to set the record straight. We are going to be covering finance for the next few weeks, but I don't want you to be afraid. Fear not. Nobody's going to come looking at you. Nobody's going to put you under the microscope. And I'm saying that because sometimes we come from different backgrounds or different experiences, or we hear stories that feel real to us that we did not experience, but we assume that they're real. And it makes us feel like, oh, you're just after that. So let me just kind of put that off and just say, just open your heart and open your mind and see what God tells you and how he shows this to you. And then you do what you want to do with what God shows you. I know Pastor Sheree and I are going to do what we believe God's showing us to do as well. That makes sense? So we're all in this together, but it's an individual response, and you're invited to take advantage of that. Everybody got it? But because it's finance, I'm going to actually read a little something funny that I heard this week, because sometimes a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I was listening to a pastor introduce a sermon, and I thought, I've got to share that with the church because it just made me laugh. So y'all ready to laugh a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. So a police officer pulls a man over and says, you've just won a $1,000 safety award for wearing your seatbelt properly. How many of you like to be pulled over and told you just won $1,000? That'd be a great pullover, wouldn't it? The officer says, so what are you going to do with your winnings? The guy says, I guess I'll go to driving school to get my license. His wife in the passenger seat leaned over and said, officer, don't listen to him. He's always a smart aleck when he's drunk. This woke the guy up in the back seat, and he said, I knew we wouldn't get far in this stolen car. About that time, they heard a knock from the trunk and said, are we over the border yet? That's a hard day right there. Now, everything we do this year is going to be in the lens of what God's showing us through Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Because we're pursuing God into his kingdom. So most of the Sundays in this particular year, we're going to reference that because it ties directly to where God's taking us as a congregation. So we're going to put this up on the screens. We're going to go through this together and let this set the tone for what he's going to show us in this particular series, just like we did in the worship series we came through just the past few weeks. Matthew 6, verse 31, New King James says this, therefore do not worry. Everyone say worry.
Worry.
Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 33 is really the action point. Verse 31 through 32 is the setup. Verse 33 is the action point. So we get the verse 31 aspect of don't worry, but instead seek. If you just take a lot of the syntax out and boil it down to what he's actually referring to is don't do this, instead do that. As I was prayerfully preparing this for this morning, the Holy Spirit arrested me with something. I'm going to pass this on to you because he got some mileage out of this with me this particular week, and that is this. When it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm going to ask that you'd be willing to look back over this past week and evaluate how intensely were you seeking the kingdom of God this week. Just look back over the week. Monday, any examples pop out? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now, obviously, we're here today. But in all honesty, and I'm not asking you to tell me this, I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you, how intentionally are you or were you or did you actively seek the kingdom of God in a practical, observable way? Again, not for me, but for you. And the reason I feel like the Holy Spirit was challenging me with this is I have a tendency to want to know how things work. And then once I know them, I think I'm doing them. But to be sure, you can't do what you don't know. So you do need to know. But knowing is not good enough. The power is in the doing. Power's in the doing. So for me, I actually felt some conviction. Because I could only find a few times through the week where I was intentionally seeking the kingdom. And the Lord brought an illustration back to me that really helped me with this. Years ago, when LifeLink was really young, early on in the journey, we did not own a building, and so we rented. We were like, if you have empty space, we'll rent it from you and use it to the max. So we had this tiny little office, and we were shoehorned into this tiny little office in downtown Chandler, and there was about 15 of us in about four different rooms in space, I think of like 800 square feet or something. It wasn't very much. And so we were all crammed in this little building, but we were making it work because that's what we had available to us. So I was doing something at my desk, and Pastor Sheree just ran in to my office and said, "Oh my goodness." And guys, I don't know how you feel when your wife has panic in her voice. It reaches me. So it alerted me, and I looked up and said, "What's wrong?" She said, "The diamond in my ring is gone." Which took me right up to like level 11. Out of 1 to 10, I was at 11. And there's a couple reasons for this. One is it is my wife's wedding ring diamond, which is not the biggest diamond you've ever seen, but it's especially meaningful to us because it's the diamond that I gave her when we said I do. So it meant a lot to me. Secondarily, it meant a lot to me because my mom actually gave me that diamond because that's the diamond my dad gave her when they said, "I do." So it wasn't like you could just run out and buy another diamond and put it in. There was something to that one. And so the reason I'm rehearsing this with you is that news interrupted my plans. I had a full day planned. I was in the middle of something, but when I got that aha, when I got that revelation, when it dawned on me, the diamond is gone, it stopped everything I was doing, and I began to seek for that diamond. I got down on the floor. I crawled all over that office. The staff started wondering, "Pastor Dave, what are you doing on the floor? That's not a normal posture for you." As soon as they heard the diamond was gone, they immediately went to their knees, looking all over the floor. We tore that off. We spent an hour tearing that office up. We were looking and seeking. I was touched by that because, number one, it was urgently important to me. It was urgently important to Pastor Sheree. But then when our friends and colleagues heard what was going on, they stopped what they were doing. They began to seek with us. In other words, there was something of value that was lost or was not in our possession. And when it dawned on us it's not there, it changed our plans. It interrupted the plan. And we began to change what we were doing in order to find that diamond. There's good news to the story. We found it. It was actually in her purse. So apparently, she had reached into her purse to get something, snagged on the way out, and the diamond fell in her purse, which I'm really grateful, like it didn't fall down a drain somewhere or whatever it was. So we found it, so when we found it, guess what we did? We immediately went straight to a jeweler and said, "Weld this thing in place. We don't ever want it to fall out again." Why? Because once what was lost had been found. So I want to impress upon you this morning that God is saying to us, "Hey, I have something for you. It's my kingdom. You're going to find it when you seek for it. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6, if we're going to come to God, we must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently, what's the word? Seek. Not casually glance. Not, "Oh, if we happen to remember." But God and his kingdom are found by those who seek him. So the promise is you're going to find it if you seek. But if you're just casually looking or couldn't be bothered with it, it's not going to run you over and pounce on you. But if you seek, you'll find it. So my question this morning that I'm passing on to you that the Holy Spirit drilled me with this week is, How intentionally were you really seeking? And to be candid with you, I could only find a few times this past week that I was obviously and mentally focused on seeking the kingdom, which may be awkward to you because I'm a pastor. I mean, this is supposed to be my jam, right? But I was working and driving. I was Instagramming and Facebooking. I was reading and listening. I was watching the news. I was husbanding and fathering. I'm busy just like everybody else. And I'm saying that even in life that I have, where my vocation is aimed at the kingdom of God, it's easy to be distracted from intentionally seeking. And God got my mind with my attention with this and said, David, you didn't seek as much as you thought you did. Now, here's the cool thing about how God works. It was not condemnation. He was coming alongside of me and said, there's more, but I'm not going to do it for you. But if you seek, you'll find. So this morning, I want to just connect with you on this. As we're starting this particular kind of inning, if you will, in the game that God's playing with us this year, we've come through the vision in January where God was setting the course for what we're doing as a church family. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. February was all about what? Oh, come on. Please take better notes than that. Worship. The presence and power of God through the doorway of what? Worship. Okay. Entering in so we can go out with his presence and his power. So God is layering in, layer by layer, some things he wants to show us this year. And here's who's going to get there. Everybody who seeks. Everybody who goes for it. We can't do it for each other. We can pray for it. We can encourage. We can hold each other accountable. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the fact, did you go for it or not? Which is good news because nobody can choose not to do it for you. You can get there. You can get there. Let me let you in on something else that God's working with me on. This may or may not be helpful for you. Then I've got a bunch of scriptures we're going to go through today. When it says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way I'm wired, I'm a teaching apostle, which means in the fivefold ministry, my primary ascension gift is the apostolic. The secondary one is a teaching gift. So for me, the way I'm wired, and I'm called to oversee with and govern with authority the dynamics of how the kingdom of God works in a local church setting in regions and connections with other regions and those kinds of things. None of that's important or even interesting to you. I get that. But the teaching part of it, we actually connect with just about every week unless we have some of our other teaching staff or pastors teaching, and then you get to see that working through them. Well, one thing about the way I'm wired as a teacher is I want to understand what it is and how it works. It's hard to teach something you don't know what it is and how it works. So I need to know what it is and how it works. So I'm instinctively wired to figure, okay, if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I need to know what it is and how it works. What it is and how it works. The Holy Spirit's working with me on something in this particular kind of lap through this course. And is reminding me, what you're seeking is not an it. So instead of just being an instructor, I feel like one of the things God's helping me with is that this idea. Don't just be an instructor, be an introducer. Because everything in the kingdom of God comes down to relationship. What we're looking for isn't a system of principles we can just apply in an abstract way and operate the kingdom of God.
There you go.
The kingdom of God is irrevocably tied to and irresistibly connected with God. He is the root of all of it. So if you're taking notes, I wish you'd write this thought down. I'm going to leave it up on the screen for a few minutes. Relationship with God is the root of how his kingdom works. Relationship with God is the root of how his kingdom works. Now, are there kingdom principles? Leave that up just for a second, you guys. Are there principles in it? Yes. Are there directives in it? Yes. Are there commandments in it? Yes. Are there things we do? Yes. There are all of those things. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is rooted in relationship with him. He is the prize, not his blessings. He is the treasure, not his provision. When we seek him, we get all of it. So my hope is, before we get to the nuts and bolts of his provision, which we're going to cover in some detail over the next few weeks, we don't blow by the doorway to his provision, which is the relationship we have with him. That's what he's after. He's after that. So when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his kingdom is really different than the system you've learned how to work all around you. And you have learned how to work a system all around you. We learn it at an early age. If you're visiting with us, you may not put the dots together as easily as this, but my wife and I, in our 50s, have a 2-year-old daughter, which is an interesting experience in so many ways. We're raising a daughter again, and she's 2. At less than 2 years old, but for sure at 2, they're figuring out a system. You know when a baby cries and it's legit pain, you can hear it? Well, Tori has learned this ridiculous little attempt, and you can see right through it. When she doesn't get away, she goes, "Wah." I'm like, don't even. That's so fake. You're trying to work me, and it's not working. Just recently, she's figured out how that being pleasant with daddy is a doorway to his heart too. So for right now, I'm going with it because I like the feeling of her treating me pleasantly. But I know what she's doing. She's not really fooling me. But just for a minute, I'm going to go with it because I like the way it feels as a father. Does that make sense? So don't kid yourself. We've learned how to work a system, to manipulate, to maneuver, to extract things we want or feel like we need from people, from environments, from systems. That's not God's kingdom. That's not God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 contains a section of the model prayer that Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. He said this, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A couple of things I'll just point out in this. He's illuminating and drawing attention to the fact that God's kingdom is not the one that's naturally working all the time all around us. Does that make sense? He said, "I want you to pray that God's kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven." Why would he tell us to pray that unless it's not already happening? So he's basically drawing an illustration between two kingdoms. The natural system of manipulation you've learned how to use to get what you want out of life. I say you, it's we. Or God's kingdom. The second thing is, and I hope this is helpful to you, it's possible that we could just pray that from a distant, kind of disconnected idea. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done somewhere on earth that is in heaven. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Don't know if it's happening or not, but you said to pray it, so there it is. So change Washington, change downtown Phoenix, change this, change whatever. I have no idea if it's going to work or not, but you said to pray it, so here we go. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somewhere in the world, it's got to be happening because you said to pray. What if we allow the Holy Spirit to adjust our perspective a little bit to your world? Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in my world. Because as accurate as it is that I do believe God wants us to pray in the macro sense of this, that the kingdom of heaven is beginning to manifest in the world, I do believe that in the macro sense. It's really easy as believers who are just checking the box to get things done to go, yeah, somewhere out there, whatever, but not really let it touch my world. So to put it in the experience track that I believe God's leading us and our congregation and our friends and family online through this year is to say, hey, your kingdom come, your will be done in my world as it is in heaven. Why? I want to experience the kingdom of God. Now, funny thing about God and his kingdom, he knows what it is and he knows how it works, right? Which is the rub, because we don't know exactly what it is until he shows us, and then we got to trust that he's telling us the truth because it's not the way we think it would work. Y'all still here? Y'all need another joke or what? Okay, just checking with you. It's one of the reasons why what we just came through is so important to establish first. To learn how to worship our way into his presence. Why? Because when I'm connected with his presence, what is growing in my heart is trust in who he is. The more I know him, the more I trust him. Trust is another word for faith. That context to say, if you say it, then I'm going to actually obey it. Why? Because what you say is tied to truth because you cannot lie. So then God goes through the exercise of saying, okay, you want my kingdom, you want my blessings, you want the relationship with me, here's how it works. And then he'll give us a directive or give us instruction or give us a commandment. All those words mean he's basically telling us what to do because we don't instinctively know what to do as it is designed by his truth to operate in his kingdom. So he has to tell us what to do. Those are called commandments. Those are called directives. Those are called instruction. That's called correction. Sometimes it's called reproof. It's God saying, you're not doing it the way I've created you to do it. It's never going to work that way. It's like the guy who had an engine that was just running terribly all the time. He took it to the mechanic and said, it's a brand new car. It should run better than this. The mechanic did some tests, and he said, oh, you got water in the fuel. That's why it's sputtering and won't develop horsepower and you can barely get it started and it just looks good, but it won't run. He said, by the way, how to get water in here? He said, oh, I put a quart of water in every time I fill up. Mechanic said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why are you doing that? Well, my dad did that. He told me it helps minimize the carbon on the rings and the valves. You just put about a quart of water in every time you fill up. It'll help minimize the carbon buildup on the valves. He's my dad. That's just the way Eddie's. Would that just be the most ridiculous thing in the world? So all the mechanics in here are like, dumb, that's really stupid. But that's how we approach life. It's what we think or what we were taught or what somebody told us. Or we heard a story that this was that way. But God's saying, no, 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 no. If you want my kingdom, come to me. And in spite of what you think, I'll teach you what's actually true. I'll show you what works and what doesn't. Does that make sense, you guys? And so as we're getting a hold of this particular journey as it deals with God and his provision, it's going to come down to the fact of, do we really trust him or not? Which is one of the reasons why I wanted to spend the bulk of today's journey with you in Scripture rehearsing the reality that God is real, he's big, he is a provider, he's going to tell us how it works. We get everything he says if we'll go with what he says. In spite of what we think and what we've always known. Why? Because we trust him. We trust him. Isaiah chapter, oh, let me write this down. Or I've already written it down. Let me invite you to write this down. Put this up on the screen. Our choice to follow God's direction or his commandments, that choice aligns us to him and his blessings. Okay, leave that up just for a few minutes, you guys. Our choice to follow God's directions, aka commandments, that choice aligns us to him and his blessings. So he and his blessings are one. He and his kingdom are one. He is all of those things. What aligns us with all those things is our obedience, our choice to follow those directions. And I chose not to use the word obedience because in America we have such a bow-up response to anytime we hear the word obey. Because we're Americans. We're independent. We do what we want. Hey, we deserve a break today. For the record, God's kingdom is a kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not a republic. Our vote doesn't matter in the kingdom. The only thing that matters is our obedience. Because our obedience is alignment to him and his kingdom. I'm super excited. Can y'all tell how excited I am about this particular study? But you know why? Because God's going to knock the snot out of darkness in your life that's kept you down. You have access to so much more than what you think. And God's about to rip the cover off this and show you what he's really up to. He says in Isaiah, y'all get that written down? Okay, Isaiah 55, and I got to hurry because Daryl's up here on the keyboard. I saw you, man. By the way, your hair looks good. I meant to tell you that offline, but since I'm in front of everybody, I'm just going to tell you now. He's dying 1,000 deaths right now. Wish my hair would do that. It won't, ever. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says this. God's telling us this way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What's he say? No matter how convinced you are about what you think, if what you think is not my way, it doesn't matter how convinced you are. It's not my way. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My perspective is not your perspective. Mine actually works. Isn't that awesome? So let me come right down to the, I think that what's going to be the biggest issue in all of this. Then we're going to close the journey for this morning. One of the biggest hindrances all of us struggle with when it comes down to stepping into the kingdom of God in deeper, fuller ways is the lie that we own something. And that lie is so prolifically propagated. Did y'all hear those two P words all together? Prolifically propagated. I have no idea why I said it that way. It's just everywhere. It's pervasive. How about that for another P word? Anybody ever play Words with Friends? Lord, you used to beat me at that terribly all the time. You're the reason I quit playing, because you just skunk me every time. You're smart. But that lie that we own stuff is everywhere. Listen to what God says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and, everyone say and, all its fullness. Whose is it? Is it mine? Nope, it's the Lord's. You're like, great, so he can have the earth and all the fields and all the oceans, the fullness thereof, he can have all that. And then it goes on to say, the world and those who dwell therein. I didn't have this sent in, but listen to this. It's in the New Testament. For those of you that get stuck on the idea, oh, that's Old Testament, doesn't apply now because we're in the New Testament era. Here it is in the New Testament era. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Just jot the reference down. I'll read it to you. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Now, for those of you that have spent some time in that particular passage of Scripture, you know that the context for that deals with our sexuality. So that particular Scripture in 1 Corinthians is dealing with the context of that sexuality and honoring God with our bodies. So in other words, don't join yourself, men, to a prostitute because you're joining God's body with a prostitute, and how can you do that, and that's not right. And then he makes the point, you're not even your own. That's not your body. You just think it is. It's not. Jesus bought it. The reason I felt like that was an important tie-in is because whether it's the context of sexuality or the pursuit of pleasure in any other dimension that we might choose to experience with our bodies, we think they're ours. It's like, my body, my choice. God's like, nope, I bought it. It's not yours. Now, it's in your stewardship, and you choose how it's used, but it's not yours. I'm not making this up, you guys. It's in the Bible. So, underneath everything, one of the issues that is that I've constant stumbler on this issue with God's provision is the idea that we own anything. And we really don't. Really don't. We steward everything. And the sooner we get that picture really squared away in our mind, the easier it is to step into the kingdom of God when it comes to his provision. Because even though we work with this body of ours for 50, 60, 70 hours a week, whatever it is you work, and get a paycheck with the body, the time you spent, it wasn't your body, it wasn't your time, it wasn't anything. And then you get the finances that go with that. That's God's provision. That's not yours. Y'all see it? But in our minds, well, of course you put a quart of water in the oil, in the gas tank. Every time you fill up, you just put a quart in. That's just how it works. Everybody knows that's what you do, except your car's not running. So you're like, I am not coming back next week. And I'm sure not inviting anybody to come with me. This is what I was saying earlier. Listen, you guys, I'm going to teach you from Scripture. You get to do what you want to with it. I'm not the sheriff. But God's taking us on the journey. And as for me and my house, we want the blessing. I'd rather know him and how he works and just go for it than spend a whole lifetime with a quart of water in my gas tank for the rest of my life and think, why isn't my life working? So let's take the pit stop, let's get the water out of the gas, and let's get high octane gas in there. Let's get some jet fuel in there. What do you say? Amen? Now listen, I'm gonna hurry this up because they're not gonna let me come back and preach again if I don't get done on time. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1-4. Let you listen to this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you what? Obey the voice of the Lord. In other words, the choice is to align your life with what God said. If you align your life with God said, and he used the word obey, which I'm a little reticent to do because we have this instinctive knee-jerk reaction about obey, but I can't take it out of the Bible. It's there. If we obey, I love the wording of this. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How would you like to be overtaken and pounced on by the blessing of God? Oh, no? I do. I want to be running through life and hear footsteps coming up behind me going, oh, my goodness, what is that? I'm running the gun, and I hear footsteps coming up. It's another blessing coming up to grab me behind, from behind. I'd just rather live that way than running and running and running, trying to get away from whatever's coming behind me because the shoe's about to drop and it's one more bad thing that's coming. Right? You're going to be running through life. Wouldn't you rather be hounded by blessings than hounded by hassles? About six of you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the businesses you give or you're given, the increase of your cattle, the business I give you, the business that you're running, the employment that you work at, the business that I give you. Oh yeah, and the offering of your flocks. Because nobody's got flocks here. You probably don't have cattle. You may not have herds. But that's how the economy worked, the people who were originally hearing this. Let me wrap this up with one other thing. We learned that worship is love expressed to God. That's worshiping Him. The doorway into His presence is worship. Love expressed to God. Not in your Bible, it's in your Bible, not on the screen. John chapter 14, verse 15, New American Standard says this: if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What's he saying? If that loving relationship is established there, you're going to actually trust me. You're going to follow me. You're going to keep my commandments. It's not necessarily prove this love to me by doing this. We don't prove it. God already knows. There's nothing we think, do, or imagine that he doesn't already know. So you can never prove anything to God. Tests are never for him. Tests are only for you. But he says, if you will keep my commandment. In other words, you'll trust me. You're just going to do what I say because you get it. And I want to put that back in the context of worship. When we actually follow what God's saying, when we obey what he said, we follow his directions, we're expressing love to God. Why? We're saying, I trust you. I'm putting into my life what you say. I'm following you. I love that because I'll tie this back to the last scripture that'll be on the screen. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, New King James Version says this: the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so I'm just going to close today's introduction by saying the journey into the relationship with God we have, where his provision becomes more pronounced in our life, is going to be still like everything else we've covered this year in the context of worship, when we begin to trust him and follow what he's saying. Fair enough? Okay, let's pray. So Lord, thank you for the introduction today that you've given us to remind us that everything that we do, everything that we say, it all flows in relationship with you. Stepping into your kingdom is the doorway of obedience into relationship with you. God, I thank you right now that you're setting people up for an illuminated experience that is an aha that changes how we think and changes what we do. I just declare and decree and release on this congregation, whether those are here in the Gilbert campus or on the online campus, a supernatural trust in who you are to hear, to receive, and to apply what you say in the next few weeks as you invite us to step into your supernatural multiplied provision into our life as we learn how to steward what you are putting into our hands in ways that release you to pour more through our lives. We We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Just one last thing. We're almost done. There are several of you right now who need to make a decision to actually say yes to the Lordship of Christ. You're still doing life like you want to do, like you think needs to be lived. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask you to trust me. Repent. Stop doing what you think is right. Give me control of your life. Step into my kingdom through relationship with me. You know if that's you or not. So I'm going to ask whether you're streaming this service online or you're here in the Gilbert campus, that you'd be willing to say, Lord, forgive me for sinning against you. I'm opening my heart to you. I want to follow you as my Savior and God for the rest of my life and live my life in your kingdom in relationship with you. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you just simply say these words after me. Heavenly Father, come on right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me, wash me, and forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. I'm giving my life to you. I choose to follow you as my Savior and my Lord from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys, let's celebrate this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.